a premise. Here's the premise. Sex and sexuality were designed by God to be a human picture of His divine nature. God said, I want them to know what I'm like. What would be a good way for them to really know what I am like? I know, I'll create sex and sexuality. And that is a divine picture. And we're going to spend the next few weeks kind of talking about that. If that's true, and I believe that it is, then it stands to reason that Satan would throw all of his energy into disrupting and destroying that facet of mankind. I was talking to Doris about this. I said, you know, I know this is, I know I'm just making this number up. One of my favorite sayings is, do you know that 83% of all statistics are just made up on the spot? I just love that. So I'm just making this number up. But, you know, I think about 83% of all sin is somehow related to sex and sexuality. Why is that? Is that just coincidental? I mean, why? I think it's such an important part of God's creation and His plan, His overall plan, that it stands to reason. The enemy says, I'm going to destroy that. That's where I'm going to start with all of this. And so a few weeks ago, I was asked to speak at a church across town about gender dysphoria, transgenderism. And that just prompted this thinking in me. And I asked Pastor Bryce if I could do this. And he's very courageous to say, yeah, let's tackle stuff. And I said, we're going to spend the last 3 weeks of September talking about what I have come to call sexual dysphoria. It's not a real term. I just made that term up. But it's taking this gift of God and then being so uncomfortable with it that it becomes destructive rather than constructive. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like. Next week, I'd like to talk to you about that whole concept of what God, let's take a verse of scripture and turn it around. What God meant for good, Satan has twisted for evil. And we're going to talk about that. And then the last week, I really want to talk about, so what is our response? How do you respond to people that you know and love that are caught up in same-sex attraction or in transgenderism or pornography addictions? How do we respond? Sometimes, I'm not going to preach, but I am going to say, sometimes our response is almost as sinful as their behavior. And we have to be careful that we can speak the truth in love, that we learn how to do that. So we're going to talk about that. But, so I spoke, and the next week, Landon Fleming, who is the next gen pastor at Christian Life Church, is where I spoke across town. Landon spoke on pornography. That was the theme through the month as they talked about these issues. Under the Influence was kind of the overall theme, and Landon spoke, and I listened to his message, and thought, wow, I don't know how to add to that. So I called Landon and said, hey, would you be willing to do this? He said he would, and so I'm absolutely delighted to have Landon Fleming come tonight. He's gonna kick this week off, this month off, this series off, by talking to us about the issue of pornography, and again, how Satan has taken something that God meant for good, and he's twisted it and airbrushed it and painted it up and made it unrealistic and trapped us with this. And called it, here's another one of those 83% of all statistics, but I would say by far the majority of men that I talk to in branches are in some way affected by that. They've involved that. And more and more women as well. So I'm excited about that. So here's what I want to do. I want to invite Landon to come and he's going to speak to us. And I'm going to put my friend Jose on the spot. Jose, would you come and pray for Landon? But would you pray for Landon in Espanol? Yeah.
Up here.
Oh, yeah, in the microphone. I'll hold the microphone so you don't pray too long. But did I do that?
Landon, right?
Yes.
En el nombre de Jesús, te, Señor, te pido que bendigas a mi hermano Landon, bendícelo, úngelo con tu Espíritu Santo, Señor. Bendícelo, Señor, los oyentes. En el nombre de Jesús, te damos gracias por él y por su vida. Gracias porque él vino aquí a enseñarlos. En el nombre de Jesús, amén.
Amén. Thank you.
Well, hey, everybody. My name is, like they said, Landon Fleming. And I'm the next-gen pastor at Christian Life Church all the way across town. Me and my wife kind of got spoiled tonight. We normally, it takes us maybe 15 minutes to get to church. It was only like 6 to here, so it was nice. Again, just right off the bat, I just want to just introduce my wife, Tara, who's here with me. We have 4 kids, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, almost 2-year-old, and then one on the way. So if for some reason I just stop preaching and run that way, it's because baby number 4 is on the way. And so, again, I'm so grateful to be here to speak with you guys. And just want to honor your pastor, Dr. Mike. I love being a part of a congregation that's not afraid to talk about hard things and not going to shy away or sugarcoat. And I love being a part of a church tonight that's not afraid to talk about hard things, and not to just be edgy and cool, but because you know that there's so much power in seeing people set free. And I really believe tonight maybe God can do that. And not only that, but maybe do something in you that would allow you to help others be set free. And so I have to share just an interesting fact. It's amazing to be just in this room. I was sharing earlier that the last time I was in this room for a church service was back in 2008. And I was 2 years after my mom had passed away from brain cancer, and my stepdad got into another relationship, and this lady was looking for a church. And so we came to a church that used to meet here called the Carpenter's House, and we sat right in the back row over there. And we walked in, and I wasn't raised really in church that much, and neither was my brothers and this lady. And so when worship began, when we saw people raising their hands and clapping, we were scared. And I can remember after worship, the pastor came right here, and he said, "Hey, before we get into the message, I just want to invite everybody to come to the front. We're just going to anoint you with oil and pray over you." And so we left the row like everybody else, except instead of coming this way, we went that way. And we left. We got the little daughter of this lady, we got in the car and we drove home. And that was the last time I've been in this room. And so if I could just take the whole night to share my story, fast forward 4 years after that, I would meet Jesus and become healed and know him and healed of so much pain. And then fast forward to being called to ministry and the pastor over at Christian Life, and now I'm here. And I'm so thankful that after worship I didn't book it to leave. I get to come up here and share and speak with you guys. So it's very amazing to be here. I'm thankful to be here with you worshiping and not staring at you wondering what's wrong with you. And so glad to be here. But I hate that the reason I'm here is because there's such a huge problem that we have to talk about. And I kind of modeled this message after Dr. Mike Courtney when he came to Christian Life. I want to just tell you about the problem. I want to tell you what the Bible has to say about it. And then I do want to give you a few ways that we can respond as a body of Christ, as a church. And so before we jump in, do you care if I just pray over us, pray over this room? And so, Lord, I just pray right now that you would just meet us here. And God, I pray that you would just only use me as a vessel to reach people, to help people remember the gospel, remember the why behind what we do. And God, even use me maybe to set people free. And God, you would use me to just maybe rise up a burden within some people that they would see this desperate need to help others around us and our families and our workplaces, even in this church congregation, to be set free from addiction to pornography. So Lord, help us, we pray. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Well, before I talk about the problem of pornography, I have to just lay a foundation. I have to remind you of the gospel, because it is because of the gospel that we have any hope at all. And so the book of Colossians in the Bible, it was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was to address the issue that some people among the Colossian church, they were coming along and saying, yeah, it's the gospel. I know that Jesus came and he died, but it's not just belief in Jesus that's going to save you. You need to do these things too. And so the Apostle Paul hears, he catches wind that people are trying to add to. It's Jesus plus something. It's Jesus plus this ceremony, or Jesus plus this act. And the Apostle Paul catches wind, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes to the Colossians to remind them of, it's not Jesus plus anything. It is Christ alone that saves. And so he wrote this letter, again, through the direction of the Holy Spirit, to encourage this congregation in Colossae of the gospel. And I want to use the same words he used to remind you all of this gospel we believe. And so Colossians 2, 13 through 15, I have it maybe on the screen for you. There you go. Colossians 2, 13 says, "You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away." So if we pause there, if you go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, God created mankind and he called it good. Like Dr. Mike said, it was good. Everything that God created was good. Male and female, fully alive, created in his image. And they were enjoying perfect relationship with God. Until, we know the story, Satan shows up, he tempts Adam and Eve, and they choose their own way over God's way, and then enters sin. Sin fractures the universe, and it separated mankind from God. And because of sin and separation, we're now all of a sudden mankind was spiritually dead and in need to be born again. Like Christ says, you must be born again. And so this sin causes separation, it causes spiritual death, and we need Christ to come and make us alive. And this is what the Apostle Paul was reminding, that you were dead, not lost, not just lost, but you are literally dead, and you are in need, like he continues, that Christ would come and make you alive. And so he continues, "And God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave all of your sin." Verse 14, "He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross." And so what we see here is, just imagine a document. For me, I know it would be a stack of papers this high rolled in on a dolly. Of just imagine a record of everything you've done wrong, all of your sin, past, present, future. It's a record of the debt that you owe because of your sin. This is every lie you've told, every terrible thing you've said, the worst parts of your story that sometimes you have a tendency to hide at because you're afraid if people knew that part, they would think of you differently. All of these things on this record. And what this says is that all of your sin on this document, that Jesus Christ, when you come to him in faith, he takes that document and he nails it to the cross. And not only that, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, Scripture literally says that Jesus became sin, that he who knew no sin became sin. So this means that on the cross, Jesus became a liar. He became an adulterer, an addict, a murderer. He became sin on the cross and died for it in your place, and the punishment of your sin was satisfied. The debt was paid, and we all love to celebrate it. He rose from the grave on the third day to prove that it's done, it's finished, it's canceled. And so this is why I love being a part of this church, singing and worshiping Jesus, because I know that the record of my sin has been nailed to the cross, and it's finished. This is the gospel. And it continues on, it just gets even better. In verse 15 it says that he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities by dying on the cross, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And so I say this first, because the next several weeks we're going to be talking about some heavy things, and you may relate. You hear the word pornography, and you may have never been a part of a church service that talks about this subject, and I know for some, it may cause that sinking feeling. For others, there's so many different parts of our stories, but what this tells us is that any time that the enemy would come and try to shame us or tell us, you can't be forgiven for that. Or any time, even as a believer, the enemy comes and he reminds you of these things you've done or causes you to feel like you're disqualified, you can remember that it's not you that has the shame. Jesus shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And so I remind you tonight of this gospel, because on a topic like pornography, you need to know that the gospel is enough to forgive anyone of anything. And there is hope in Jesus. And so with that being said, this is the part where you shout and you dance and you clap and you go crazy, because we have a Savior that would forgive us. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf and canceled the record of our debt. And so with that in mind, we have to talk about the issue, a problem that so many wrestle with. Maybe even you're here tonight and maybe it's a once a month thing, maybe it's a once every several months thing, maybe it's a once a week, maybe it's a daily. But pornography is an issue. And it may not be you, but maybe it's a son, a daughter, a grandson, a granddaughter, a student that you love. I love knowing that a student pastor, I think it's his first night here tonight, and they're doing something over there. But I think about those students that may be even your kids that are just down the hall. It's a problem. But the gospel, that our record can be canceled, this is the umbrella in which we talk about this problem. Because even pornography can be forgiven by Christ. And so I want to show you some facts. A lot of statistics. Hopefully they're accurate. I have a source document for anyone that comes and says, show me the source. I got that. I'm that kind of person. I am a nerd and a proud nerd that loves to research. But I have some facts that are probably going to make you cringe. But fact number one, 64% of Christian men admit to viewing porn at least once a month. That's just the ones that admit it. 15% of Christian women admit to viewing porn at least once a month. Another fact, 22,258 users are watching porn every second. Every second. Another one, 79% of all men, Christian and non-Christian, admit to viewing porn monthly. Another one, 90% of college males view pornography, 30% of college females view pornography. It's 9 out of 10 guys, 3 out of 10 ladies. Another one, according to a 2020 survey, the majority of children are exposed to porn by age 13. Most of the time, it is unintentional or unwanted. Another one, and I want to share a story with this one. 22% of regular porn users are under the age of 11. So back in the month of March at Christian Life, we called it a guys' night. This is a night for middle schoolers and high schoolers. And this is actually the part of the year where the Lord just began to just put a stirring in my heart to really talk about pornography. And so I just knew the first thing I should do is just start with our young men at Christian Life. And so we had this guys' night, middle schoolers, high schoolers. We had maybe 60 or 70 middle school, high schoolers, guys come in the room. We ate food together, and then we just put chairs in a long line. I sat at the head of the table with all these guys, and I talked about pornography. And of course, some of their faces, their eyes were this big and couldn't believe we were talking about it. But at the end of the night, I said, I want every guy in the room to get prayed over. And so I had three or four guys come to me and pray with me. And one in particular, he was 12 years old. He's a student at our church. And so this 12-year-old young man came to me and he confessed to a pornography addiction no one's ever known, not even his parents. So I asked, when did this start? He said, I was 5 years old. He said, I was 5 years old, and then at six is really whenever it got really bad. And I have a six-year-old son. He just turned six. And I had to take a minute to catch my breath and figure out what to say. 6 years old. And from six to 12, half of his life, he kept it a complete secret. No one knew. He has a device, an iPad and an iPod device, and he YouTube and led to other things. And so I got to pray with this kid. But it just brought a face to this statistic that 22% of regular porn users are under the age of 11. And here's one that'll hit you in the gut. A third of victims trafficked in sex slavery are used in the production of pornography. Men and women who indulge in pornography are themselves creating the demand for the sex trafficking industry. So this statistic, it can't be ignored. This is one that, at least when I spoke this at Christian Life, it caught a lot of people off guard. I had so many people come and say, I had no idea the tie between sex slavery and pornography. But pornography is basically the biggest funder of sex slavery, that a third of the victims that are trafficked are used in the production of pornography. And if you think about it, every time someone clicks a website or views a video, they themselves, without meaning to, are creating the demand for sex trafficking. Even according to an organization called Exodus Cry, they're out to raise awareness of the connection between pornography and sex trafficking. On their website, one of the things they say is, the top Google search for pornography that has over 3 billion searches are videos that involve young, little, teenage girls that have been kidnapped in sex slavery. It's the top pornography Google search. It's videos that include young 13, 12-year-old girls. A terrible, horrendous reality. And if you aren't convinced by now, pornography is a problem. And I know for me, I'm saying enough is enough. And I'm sure I echo your lead pastor. I know I echo Dr. Mike. We're putting our foot down. And we're saying enough is enough. And I pray tonight, God, help us to hate this sin and set captives free. And so the facts, they could go on and on. I don't even have time to talk about the physical, neurological effects on the brain that happens from a pornography addiction, how pornography has created in our culture this viewing of women as objects instead of women created in the image of God. It has devalued women. I even heard a story recently of a guy who got a dream job for this big marketing analytics company. It allowed his wife to finally stay home, and he was the only income for his family, and his first project to help this company grow in promotion and to get more visits on the website was a pornography company. And so he closed the folder, went to his boss and said, I can't do this. And the boss said, if you can't do this, you're fired. And so he walked out and said, I can't work for a company that does this. It's trickling into the workplace. It's a problem. And so how do we handle this as believers in Christ? What does the Word have to say? And so the Bible has a lot to say about sexual sin. It's everywhere. But if it's okay, let's just take it back to Sunday School 101. Let's go back to the basics. And I just want to remind you that sex is a gift from God to a man and a woman in a covenant marriage relationship. That's hopefully understood by everyone, that sex is a gift from God. He created it. He is the author of it. It's not like God created man and woman and then they began to do things together and him be like, oh my gosh, I didn't think of that. And God created it. He is the author of this gift. It's not gross. It's not to be glorified. It is a gift from God to a man and a woman within a covenant marriage relationship. But what happens is people have a tendency to choose their way over God's way, which leads to sin. So they say, thank you, God, for this gift. You gave me the guidelines. I know how you want me to do it, but I think I got this. I'm going to do it my way. I know what you've said, but everybody else is doing it this way. I mean, we're already going to get married one day, so I'm going to do it my way, but thank you, God. And so, pornography is one of the many ways men and women go outside of God's design to find sexual fulfillment and pleasure. So it's just like premarital sex, it's just like homosexuality, adulterous affairs, and on and on and on. The list could go. All are ways, like pornography, that sinful men and sinful women go outside of God's original design to find sexual fulfillment and pleasure. This is the basics of what Scripture teaches us. And so I want to, if you have a Bible, I want to spend some time in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. And so in James, starting in verse 12, we read that God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And verse 13 says, and remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. And verse 14, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. And these desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And so this passage of Scripture, what James is showing us, I see it like a fork in the road. You have a fork in the road moment where you have a temptation. The same Greek word for temptation here is the word for trial. So a temptation or a trial moment for tonight's context, a temptation like pornography. And what he shows us is that you have two options. One, you be faithful under trial. You be faithful under temptation. You endure it. You call up your godly community. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you strength. You fight, and you stand firm against this temptation, and it leads to, like the Scripture says, a crown of life. But then on the other side, what he shows us is when you give in to this temptation, he gives us an insight into what's really going on. He says that temptation comes from our own desires. And so it starts with this desire. And if you think about any desire, if you think about even money, it's not wrong to need money to buy groceries, to survive, to pay your mortgage. It's not wrong. But when that desire trickles and crosses a line to where I think I need to go and rob a bank to get money, or a desire like sex, or a sex drive, or anything like that, that desire is supposed to be within the confines of marriage. But when that desire leads someone to cross the line, they step into what he calls a sinful action. And when that sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So one way to life, one way to death. And so when someone goes to view pornography, at the root of it is a sexual desire for intimacy, for pleasure, which in and of itself is not wrong. It's not. But when that desire leads someone to cross the line where they go outside of God's boundaries and design, that leads to sin. And notice how there is the word entice. The word entice there means to lure, like a fishing lure. I don't know if there's any fishing experts in the room. I am not one. But I do know what a lure is. A fishing lure is an artificial bait basically designed to deceive a fish into thinking it's the real thing. And so it's created to deceive them to think this is what you want to eat. This is the real thing. And so if you imagine a fish, they see this lure shining, moving. It looks extremely attractive. And so they go after it, they open their mouth, they eat it, only to find a hook yanked through their mouth, and now they're caught. They're trapped. Lures are fake. They aren't the real thing. But they deceive fish into thinking it is. Hooked. trapped, unable to escape. Sounds familiar. I think this is what James was trying to get across. This is an enticing, when someone sees this shiny website or friends talking about this place to go or this magazine to view, it's an enticing lure. It's artificial. It's deceiving people into thinking this is really going to satisfy you, only to find themselves hooked, trapped, unable to escape. Pornography is an issue. And this is what James is trying to get across. You're going to be tempted, and there's a way. There's a way to life. You can endure this through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Christ and His community that He can give you. You can remain steadfast under temptation. But if you choose the other way, it leads to death. And so this is what James is trying to get across. And I pray that this would allow us to see that even Scripture tells us that there's a way to life and there's a way to death. And pornography has so many people enticed and lured and hooked and trapped. And I pray again tonight the Holy Spirit would help us to see that it's an issue. So the Bible has a lot to say. We could take 2 more hours to talk about sexual sin in the Bible and standing firm in holiness, but really I'd imagine what we're after is what now? What do we do with this? And so I just want to end the night by sharing, what do we do? And the first thing I have to do, it's my first assignment, is to speak to those in the room that maybe it's known, maybe it is not known. Maybe you're here and you're battling with a pornography addiction. Maybe it's been a few years. Maybe for some, I've heard it's been 40, 50 years of a secret sin that you've wrestled with. And so I speak this message as someone that knows what it's like. I can remember being about this tall, a little kid, and walking in to a father, a person that was supposed to be a father figure in my life, with his friends gathered in the living room watching a movie. And of course, I walked in as a little 5 or 6 year old kid into the part of the movie where there's inappropriate scenes and images on the screen. And I remember being even a kid going, I don't think I was supposed to see that. And so I think I went back to my room and started playing with toys or something. But what that did is it imprinted in my mind as a little kid, and it stirred up this curiosity even in my mind. And I didn't know what to do with it as a kid. And so you fast forward to 7th grade at Central, when it was middle school, not Magnet, it was Central Middle School. In 7th grade at the lunch table, I could name you every guy that was around me talking about these websites and what they do when they watch these websites, and more and more and more websites, and they were sharing with one another. And because of that curiosity, and also because of a desire to fit in and be cool with the guys and conform, I went home and I explored the websites that these guys talked about, not knowing that it would lead to an 8-year battle with pornography. And then when Jesus intervened in 2012, and it's funny to think in 2008 when I sat back there, I was right in that addiction. And I didn't know what to do. No one knew. It was a secret. You don't talk about that with people. And so in 2012, Jesus saves me. And I can remember all of a sudden now something that was just a secret little thing became something I hated. And I wanted it so bad to be rid of from my life. And so I went to battle. However, kept finding myself, even as a believer in Christ, going back to it. And then everything changed when I began to confess to some trusted guys in my life what was really happening. You know, like I said, pornography for me was something to keep secret, especially in church. I don't know if maybe that's not a thing here, but most churches I see, there's this tendency to, well, praise the Lord, brother, how you doing? Oh, I'm great, everything's amazing, awesome, and you walk away all the while dying on the inside. It's this temptation to have the church face all the while I got all these issues, but I'm not going to tell you about that. We're in church. That was what I did as a college student. And I find myself in this room with these small group of other college guys. And I remember it was the classic small group We talked about a lesson in the Bible at the end. Hey, who's got prayer requests? And we went down the line. So-and-so, well, pray for my homework at school. It's hard. Awesome. Next, well, pray for my cat. And all these surface level things that really, I mean, the cats are cool. If you're a cat person, that's fine. But really, everybody was just given an answer just to give an answer. But then it got to the last guy. I got to the last guy, and he said, all right, guys, I got to be honest. And he just broke down instantly, just in tears, crying once he got himself together. I've never told anyone this, he says, but I have a pornography addiction. And it's trickling over into my relationship with my girlfriend, and it's causing tension, and I don't know what to do. And I remember sitting there. I was like five guys down, and I remember I turned my head, and I looked at the door, and I thought, did he just say that in church? Oh my gosh, you don't talk about that. And then after a few minutes of him sharing and some silence, the guy who went first said, all right, guys, I said to pray for my homework, but, well, if he's going to say it, I have a pornography addiction too. And then the next guy, yeah, I know I said pray for my cat, but me too. And the next guy, me too. And the next guy, me too. And then it gets to me. And I remember I sat there and I contemplated, this is my moment. I could take this off ramp. This is my chance. Or I could stick with my pride. I could maintain this strong image, this leader guy. Or I can be honest and take my off ramp that the Lord has given me to share and praise the Lord. I remember saying, me too. And from that moment, it went down the line. Everybody in the room had the same battle. It was 100% everybody. And the community that formed that night with those guys, I mean, it was marked by constant prayer for one another, constant text messages, checking in. I mean, this is maybe extreme, but we went to the point where if someone was tempted, we would go and stay the night at their house. Hey, I'm here. I'm staying the night. I'm not leaving you. That's the amount of accountability that we were committed to one another. So this was the group of guys that the Lord gave me. And then on top of that, I can remember in the middle part of 2012, I started hanging out with this awesome girl named Tara. And she needed someone to run with. And so I volunteered to go run with her. And we started to hang out and talk and really start to see we have an interest in one another. And then she just flat out asked me one night, I could take you to the spot we were at. She just said, what's your wrestle with pornography like? You're a guy? Just what's it like? And I remember thinking, well, shoot, this is it. I'm going to tell her the truth and she's going to leave. And so I began to share with her and tell her the honest truth about my wrestle with pornography and where I'm at. And I have these guys and we're trying to fight it. And this is a part of my story. And I was convinced that I would disappoint her, that she would hit the doors running, call me strange, and leave. And it was the complete opposite. She was so patient and encouraging and listened to me. And so through this accountability I had with these guys and now this amazing girl, these friends, and Tara, just pushing me towards Christ to pursue him, I can stand here in front of you all with full integrity and honesty and thankfulness that I've been free completely from pornography for 10 years. Completely. But the fight hasn't lightened up. I still have some of the same guys. In fact, this morning I met with one of those guys. And we just talked about real life. We shared about our marriages and ministry. He's another minister here in town. The fight hasn't lightened up. I still have the guys. Tara stuck around, and she's still here with me tonight listening. And it's amazing to be able to say that I was once bound. I was. I know what it's like. If you're here tonight, I know what it's like. But I know what it's like to be free. But I know what the enemy does. I know that on a message like tonight, what the enemy will do is go, yeah, but if you share that, what's going to happen with your marriage? what's going to happen with the people? What if they hear? What are your friends? They think you're this strong person. Or your girls, man, they think you're the one to come to, and now you're going to admit this? And the enemy will try to convince you, no, just keep that to yourself. Can I just say, stepping into the light is worth it? It's worth it. And so I share my story to allow you to see that you can be free. You can be. And so if you're here tonight and you ask, is there hope for me? Absolutely. That's why I started the message off with the gospel. The gospel is enough to forgive you of your sin. And if the record of your sin includes a pornography addiction, Jesus can take that and he can keep it on the cross and forgive you. And so I remember even being in college in my fight against pornography, actually the reason I chose James chapter 1 is because that's the passage of scripture that my college pastor went over with me in my fight against pornography. And I can just remember the specific time of our, I have it right here. You can come and fact check me if you want. But right here, I remember writing down the process of sin. Number one is a thought, like James says, and then it leads to an action, and then it leads to death. And I remember just this pivotal moment in my life. I wrote this in my Bible. I said, I did the action, but praise Jesus that he took my death. Because of my sin, I don't have to experience death because Christ died in my place. And so remember the gospel. If you're here tonight and you're battling pornography, remember the gospel and know that you can step into the light. And I know I speak on behalf of this church staff, this pastoral staff. They're ready. They're here to walk with you and to love you through this. And if you need someone to go to figure out how to navigate this, you got a spouse, you got kids, you got friends, you're a leader at the church, whatever the case, they are here because stepping into the light is worth it. And it's time to bring this into the light because pornography is an issue. And so my practical advice is this: don't conceal it, confess it. Don't conceal it, confess it. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. And so you start with confessing this. But it's not just that. Again, if you're here today, man, I'd love to pray with you after. I'll stick around if you want to talk with someone as a first step. I'm here. I would love to pray with you. But it's not just us in the room that may have this issue. And so my second what do we do point is we have to fight for the next generation. We have to fight for the young generation. Because if you remember the statistics, the majority of kids are exposed to pornography by age 13. Most of the time, it's unintentional or it's unwanted. It's a direct message on Instagram. It's a Facebook message. It's an unknown link to a website that leads to something that they didn't mean to see. It's an accidental search on YouTube, and then bam, it's right there. It's a conversation at a lunch table that leads them curiously to something, and then before you know it, there they are. And remember, 22% of porn users are under the age of 11. And so if I can just encourage you, I'm a dad. I have 4 kids, and I have 2 boys that are with us now. Of course, baby number 4 is a mystery. We don't know the gender. And so currently I have 2 boys and a little girl. And I know even now we're already trying to figure out ways to talk to them, because we know that it's going to be just around the corner that they see it. And so if you're a parent like me, man, talk to your kids. I remember I talked to this message, again, to Christian Life, and one of the things that my parents, they go to Christian Life, they came to me after, and I don't say this in a spiteful shame, that was my sin and my responsibility, but what they came and they said is, that was amazing. Also, we had no idea. And I thought, that's the issue. It's because it's just this awkward subject that parents don't talk about. And again, I don't blame my parents at all. They were awesome. They were amazing. But don't be that. Don't hear your student come up and say, I've been set free. I've been addicted for 10 years. And you'd be like, I had no idea. Talk about it. Overcome the awkwardness of talking about pornography, especially with teenagers. Be that parent. Monitor their devices, because we have to fight for the young generation. And so me being me, I have to share some resources. So if you're a parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, friend, youth leader, kids leader, these are some resources I want to share. The first one's called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Junior. Make sure if you have a young kid, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, make sure you remember the junior part, because there's one that doesn't have the junior. And so Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Junior is a great resource just to help your kids begin to see what's a good picture and what's a bad picture. And then, of course, for the older elementary-aged, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, period, no junior. This is great. It's more of a chapter book, very interesting. But it's just, again, a great way to begin this conversation. I know it runs the risk of, well, if I introduce this, maybe that could be what leads them to it. I know that there's a risk, but how great is it that it starts with you and not the lunch table? So begin to talk about it. You know, you're their parents. Ask the Lord for discernment on how to navigate it, but just begin to talk about it. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, do this. Another resource I would highly encourage is an amazing 3-part documentary called Brain Heart World. And I don't get anything for saying any of these things, by the way. I'm just a person that has benefited from these resources. If you're struggling with pornography or you have a heart to help lead others away from it, this is a must watch. It's a 3-part, it's not Christian-based, which it says something that I would encourage this, but it's so well done and so insightful that I would recommend Brain Heart World. It's a 3-part that focuses on how pornography affects the brain, how it affects the heart, and how it affects the world and culture. It's free. Just go to the website and check it out. Another incredible movie I would encourage that is Christian-based is called The Heart of Man. It's one of the best films, extremely creatively done, and it's about pornography and sexual sin. We actually watched this with a lot of our teenage boys at Christian Life several years ago, and they still talk about it to this day. It's extremely creative, but very well done. And a last resource I encourage is go and follow on Instagram if you have that, or visit their website, Parents Who Fight. They are the like catch-all people that have all the resources on their website, and they're constantly sharing things on Instagram. I am personally connected to the founders of this. They're amazing people, and they're just after trying to help equip parents to help their young people be free from things like pornography. And so do something. If you hear anything tonight, fight for the next generation. Just begin talking about it. If I could just encourage you as a congregation, be a church that's marked by talking about the hard things. Not just from the platform in this room, but I'm talking about when you get together one-on-one with someone for coffee, you ask, hey, how you doing with pornography? I know that's a straight-up question. Hey, have you ever wrestled with that? Or hey, how you doing with ask the hard questions? Avoid just being okay with the surface level. Pray for my cat. It's amazing. But don't allow the surface level things to mask what's really going on. And so ask the hard questions. Amen. If you're here tonight, confess it. Maybe it starts tonight. Maybe it's not tonight. Maybe it's with a pastor. Confess it. Don't conceal it. And can we all just agree we're going to commit together to fighting for the next generation? Good. Fighting for the ones that are down the hallway, in the classrooms, that can't really talk yet, crawling around. The other ones that are hanging out with their new student pastor, they need us to commit to fight for them. They need us to begin these hard conversations because they're having it at school. And so can we just agree together? Can we maybe just stand together? Can I pray for you? I just want to pray for those that maybe find themselves bound tonight. And then I want to pray for the young generation, and I'll pass it back over to Mike. So Lord, thank you so much. God, again, I'm just throughout the night just constantly being remembered of just your grace to me. God, I remember sitting in the back row in the back corner, unsure of what was going on, scared of people raising their hands in worship, and found myself sitting there as one just full-on addicted to pornography, and I saw it affect so many areas of my life. And Lord, thank you that you would bring me back here in the same room as one who now knows you, who's seen the record of my sin nailed to the cross. I thank you. And God, I pray that what was once something that had me bound and now I can share, God, I pray for more of those stories. I pray, God, that for anyone else in the room that has a run with pornography, again, maybe it's just once in a while, once in a blue moon, but it's there. God, I pray that you would just do something tonight. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray, that God, that you would set captives free. God, that for those who may find themselves bound, God, for those in this church congregation that may not even be here, God, I pray you would supernaturally intervene in their life. God, that you would do what you do best. You would set captives free. That you would extend mercy and grace to them. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, they would choose life. That they would be people marked by faithful endurance and a fight against sin, fighting for holiness. So Lord, I pray that you would intervene. And God, then we draw our attention to the young generation. God, we pray that you would do something in this church. God, every grandparent, every parent, every aunt, every uncle, every leader, every person that knows a young person, teachers, coaches, God, all of us, would you just burden us with a burden to see the young generation fought for and reached. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would protect them, protect the kids down the hall, God, supernaturally. God, that you would guard their minds. You would just bring about godly community in their lives. God, if any relationships need to go that are going down the wrong path, Lord, would you end those relationships? God, would you just give every parent supernatural discernment, every grandparent? God, give them the words to say that would just lead to a conversation that would lead to kids being set free. God, I pray that you would use all of us to fight for the young generation. And so, Lord, we ask all of these things, God, that your will would be done. God, thank you for this church. God, I pray that you would bless them, that you would surround them. God, that you would speak to them. And Lord, again, I just pray that your mercy would be known by all of us in ways we've never seen. Lord, set the captives free. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.